This morning we continue our study throughout the season of Lent, looking at the biblical theme of Sabbath and what Sabbath means, the many dimensions of that biblical calling. Be still and know is our theme. Today, however, we're looking at perhaps the most familiar component of the Sabbath command, the time that it is mentioned in Scripture that maybe some of us are more aware of than some of the other locations. That is, right here in the heart of the Ten Commandments. Our Scripture reading today is brief. It's just the fourth commandment. That's all. To set the scene a little bit, after Moses led the Hebrews through the waters of the Red Sea, from slavery in Egypt out into the promised, well, before they get to the promised land, as they're wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, Moses goes up to Mount Sinai for a divine encounter that also lasted 40 days. And while there, he received the Ten Commandments, the gift, the cornerstone for how the Hebrews were to structure their society, their family, their personal ethic, and their devotion to God. And so from that Ten Commandments, let us listen for the word of the Lord. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and consecrated it. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As Christians, we are called to love our neighbors, and we spent a great deal of time in past weeks exploring who exactly counts as our neighbor, and hopefully we remember that everyone is our neighbor, near and far, around the globe. But sometimes we also have the gift of getting to love our literal neighbors, those who live near us, or maybe even next door. And our family love our literal neighbors. We've gotten to be good friends with those whose houses line up next to ours. Our children play together. We've really enjoyed especially getting to spend time with folks who don't get weird about the fact that they live next door to a preacher. And then last Sunday, a week ago today, after church, we, as a family, went and had lunch. We ran a couple errands, and we pulled into our driveway in the middle of the afternoon, and there were two sets of neighbors out in the front yard next door, and as I pulled up and got out of the car, one of them yelled sarcastically, "Hey, don't you know it's the Sabbath?" He had no idea what our theme for this Lent is. Someone was at the house getting some work done. Someone that we did not schedule when they were going to come. He just arrived to work on that particular day. And my neighbor thought it was hilarious that someone was working at the pastor's house on the Sabbath. Hey, don't you know it's the Sabbath? In many ways, I think that interchange is a microcosm of what the Sabbath has become in many of our minds as modern Americans. It's a joke. It's something we can laugh at because it feels outdated and unrelated to the way that we actually live our lives. Just free time. Why worry? Why bother? There are important things to do, things that I need to get done. And when we've really honed in on the Sabbath, have we been that great about it historically? Just a few pages after this commandment is given, we read further in the book of Exodus that those in the community who do not keep the Sabbath are supposed to be put to death. The death penalty as punishment, that seems a bit severe. In our own American context, it's still floating around in our collective memory of the Sabbath blue laws rooted in the old Puritan faith. Detailed descriptions of what could and couldn't be done on Sundays. Christians changing the Sabbath to a Sunday is another topic for another day. Those blue laws that didn't always seem to make sense, did they? There were some communities where it was illegal on Sundays in America to buy a hammer. But you could buy as many nails as you wanted. It was prohibited from trading horses, but car dealerships could be open without any issue. How exactly we decide which parts of a legalistic reading of the Sabbath has not been consistent. And so, to our modern minds, we'd rather just laugh it off, ignore it. The Sabbath, that feels like too much of a burden that gets in the way of exercising my freedom. When in truth, Sabbath has always, in its essence, been a gift of freedom in the first place. We see today this familiar introduction to the Sabbath theme that comes from the Ten Commandments. Many people have divided the commandments into two different sets as a way of reflecting on them and talking about them. The first part has to do with our relationship with God, who God is, how we speak about God, the first table of the law, it's often called. And the second table, the second part has to do with one another, others in our community, our neighbors, how we should treat each other, not killing, not stealing, not lying. The two are held together, worship and devotion, ethics and our daily living. And there in the middle, the bridge between the two, the longest commandment, is the command to give Sabbath. To keep it ourselves and to give it to others as a gift. It's rooted in who God is and what God has done in the act of creation, but it's also a command that spills out into the ethical way that we structure our community and live with others. Did you notice who's supposed to keep the Sabbath? Just me or all those that I come in contact with? I'm called to live in a way that gives this gift as freedom to others. Let's explore a few of the phrases in this commandment because they bear mentioning. The first is notice how the command begins with the word remember. Remember the Sabbath. This isn't just a simple do and don't. This is entering into a mindset. A way of seeing the world, of seeing yourself, of remembering who you are, where you've come from, remembering who God is. Remember the Sabbath. Remember the truth that time does not belong to us. It is not our possession. And then remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Holy, biblically speaking, to be holy means to be set apart, to be special, to be separate. Holiness, when we hear that word, we might have a bitter taste in our mouth. We might think of those who put themselves on a pedestal as holier than thou, but biblically speaking, holiness means to be made special. I've got news for you. Each and every one of you in this room are holy people. You are saints, set apart as special in the waters of baptism, claimed as God's own. We are holy, special, called apart, and we're called to keep the Sabbath holy, to make it special. One of my favorite routines, of being a parent is getting to tuck our children into bed. Now, let me be clear, the hour leading up to that moment is not one of my favorite parts of being a parent. All the cleaning and preparing and everything that has to go into it, but the time of tucking our children into bed is special. We read a book, we say prayers, We're forced into answering long laundry lists of questions that are ultimately, I think, rooted in an attempt to stay up later. And then we get to watch them fall asleep. The last couple years, Wilson, our son, who is six, has instituted a set of rules that we must follow when tucking him in. He came up with these on his own, to our surprise. Two rules that you have to follow. The first is no phones. No phones can be in the bed while laying down with him to tuck him in. Now, he didn't say that he came up with this rule because he felt like his parents were too distracted at times. But I'm sure there's a root of that going on. No phones when tucking me into bed. That comes in my advantage to me sometimes occasionally when he asks a long question that I don't know the answer to. But I know I could look it up real quick. I have to tell him, I'm sorry. No phones in bed, so that will have to wait till tomorrow. And the other rule he came up with, no phones and no shoes. You can't wear shoes when you lay down in bed to tuck Wilson in. I have no idea where this came from, other than I suppose here's the chance, a rare gift for the kid to implement rules that the parent has to follow. And so what might feel pretty random, no shoes, is about claiming authority, maybe? I'm not sure. I thought it was a really strange rule, to be honest. Until one night, laying down, with my shoes off and my phone away, he fell asleep, and I looked over at his sleeping face, and I was reminded of another time that someone was told to take their shoes off because they were standing on holy ground. Before he went to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, Moses' journey of faith, his encounter with God, begins when he's called to see God at the burning bush. And before he can approach, he's commanded, take your shoes off. You are on holy ground. Sometimes things are special enough, important enough, that they're worth keeping holy. Taking our shoes off. We're commanded, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And then we hear about working for 6 days, resting for the seventh, because, not just because it's good to relax, but because the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. This day does not belong to you, we are told. This time does not belong to you. The Sabbath is not mere rest for its own sake. It's not a vacation woven into our weekly cycle. The Sabbath day has a meaning, has a point, has a purpose, an end, a telos. It directs us to our Creator. The Sabbath is a gift that does not belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. And finally, the reason that's given in the commandment. Why do we keep the Sabbath day? Why do we remember it? Because God rested after the act of creation. If you were here on Ash Wednesday, you heard Anna talk about how Sabbath, though our English translations usually only present it as a noun, Sabbath occurs more frequently in the Hebrew text as a verb as well. In the book of Genesis, God Sabbathed on the seventh day. God rested on the seventh day after creation. And so, the commandment tells us, because that's who God is and what God has done, we are called to do the same. We are called to image our Creator, to live into the created pattern of the cosmos by resting. At least that's what it says here in the book of Exodus. There's something kind of special and unique about the Ten Commandments, and this one in particular. You may not know the Ten Commandments are actually repeated. They occur in the book of Exodus, right here, when they're given from God to Moses to deliver to the people on Mount Sinai. But then a few books later, they are repeated. They show up again in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, this is decades later. After the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness are almost over, when the people are about to cross into the promised land, in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses delivers a series of farewell sermons, final instructions to the people before he dies and they cross into the promised land, these children and grandchildren of slaves who have only heard about the experience in Egypt from their parents and grandparents. And so Moses repeats the Ten Commandments for them, and almost all of those commandments sound the same in Deuteronomy as they do in Exodus, with one exception, the fourth commandment. It still says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It still says, work 6 days, but on the seventh don't. But what changes is the reason, the explanation that is given. Now, it's not because of how God acted in creation, but Deuteronomy tells us, keep the Sabbath because you were once slaves in Egypt, but now you have been set free. You have been given the gift of freedom. The God of creation is also the God of liberation. And that one God gives you the gift of Sabbath as a gift. A gift. Not just for ourselves individually, but a gift for us collectively, together, for the community. Did you hear who's supposed to keep the Sabbath? Even the livestock, even the animals are given the gift of rest, of a Sabbath day that does not belong to us, giving Sabbath to someone else. In the early 1950s, before her name was one known by many people at all, a young woman by the name of Rosa Parks decided she was going to get involved in social justice work in her Montgomery community. She was elected to be the secretary of the local chapter of the NAACP. She was a housekeeper for a white family, who, as she got to know them, she learned that they were sympathetic to her goals as well, that they were willing to roll up their sleeves and participate in the work of undoing the horrible Jim Crow laws that permeated the South. And so with the bidding and the encouragement and the financial support of this family, before any of us had heard about her, Rosa Parks took a trip to Tennessee to attend an institute called the Highlander School. The Highlander School was sort of a training ground for community activists to come learn from one another and go back and be agents of change in their local community. So here she was, far from home, and on the first morning she was there, Rosa Parks remembers waking up and smelling bacon being cooked in the kitchen for breakfast. She said that's when it hit her. This was the first morning in her adult life that she was going to eat a breakfast that someone else had prepared for her. As an African-American woman from Montgomery, she was going to eat a breakfast that a white cook in Tennessee made for her, would serve to her, would clean up afterwards for her so that she would be free to attend the seminar, the retreat, and to go back home to make her stand and to take part in giving the gift of freedom to generations of others. The commandment of Sabbath rest is not just an individual personal command. It's a communal one as well. We're called to give this gift to others, to live into who we are created to be in the image of our God, the Creator, our God, the Sabbath Maker, our God, the Liberator, our God, the Redeemer, our God whom we meet perfectly in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are called to live into our identity as those created in the image of God by living in ways that give the gift of Sabbath rest. So friends, whether you buy nails or hammers, whether you follow every letter of someone else's law, or whether you find ways to internalize and make it your own, friends, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Take your shoes off, because it's holy resting ground. A gift from God, to whom be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen.